How's the podcast going, man? Yeah. You're doing well. We check it out in the rankings, doing real well.
Yeah.
It's going good. It was just a way to talk hockey without having to move to Toronto. So it's nice. I don't mind it at all. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I know you like Toronto, but even on the podcast, I hate the Leafs. What's up with that?
Oh, I grew up just despising the Leafs, yeah. And it just carried over into my playing career and then post-career, so it's just a trend.
I think that's awesome that someone who hated the Leafs got to play against them and still carried that passion, and then you did that by ending Dave Clarkson's career, so thanks for that.
But yeah, I feel good about that.
Yeah, of course you do. That's what I mean. That's what's better than that. There's people that live out west who just hate on the Leafs and are mad about it. They want to make a Twitter account. You actually went and made to the NHL and ended a Leafs career. Like you turned a passion into a reality.
I put my plan into action and I continue to do that. I ruined Babcock's career. I like to think, because I thought he should have fired last year. So it's good that my Leafs hatred is coming to fruition.
Yeah. So share with us what you think about that, the Babcock firing. Because the timing was a little weird, but it really felt like they had reached this tipping point where it kind of had to be done, right?
Yeah, you see teams these days, and I think his message just kind of wore a little thin. When he came in, the guys were excited, this is Mike Babcock, and after 2 years of it, it just gets old, and like you can only beat a horse so much before he just kind of stops working for you. And that's, I think, what happened in Toronto, where the guys didn't want to play for him. It happens with Tortorella quite a bit, just because he's that abrasive coach. And the guys just stopped working for you. And I just think Mike lost the room, completely lost the room.
Yeah. Yeah. He seemed like a guy that motivates through negative conversation. And the guy they got now, Sheldon Keefe, is doing the opposite. And at least in a one-game sample, they seemed a lot happier. The idea, though, of hating the Leafs, I wonder how much that permeates through the league. Like, how many guys feel that way against that organization, especially this team this season with these guys on high-priced contracts despite never winning anything?
Yeah, it's jealousy is a real thing in the league. And guys, they want that publicity. They want to get the endorsements. They want that limelight. And Toronto is really the only city that gets it. So when you see guys like, Marner and Matthews and those guys getting the big endorsements, getting all these interviews on the magazines and stuff, guys get jealous and they're like, stinking Toronto, not again. Like, what a joke. And you hate Toronto because of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's real.
Yeah, I can't remember who we were talking to a couple of weeks ago about Baker Mayfield, but it was somebody from a former player in the NFL, and they were just saying how they delighted in a team like the Browns, who got way ahead of themselves. And obviously, Leafs are far more visible in Canada. They're like the kind of one team. Like, there's a lot of media attention to go around in the NFL, but just that people did delight in a guy who got too much too soon. And of course, I would imagine that professional jealousy and, people looking at it and even saying, well, what have they accomplished and who are these guys? They just get it because of this market. Of course, that stuff happens. But I want to go back to the stuff about losing the room and what that actually is like, because fans on the outside, it's like, well, what? They tune you out. You get annoyed. What's it like pervasively? Like, how does that kind of start? Guys start talking about the coach. They start slagging on them and it's different. Because I imagine everyone's still trying. How does it actually apply to the day to day?
Yeah, you definitely still want to win the games, but you lose respect for the coach, right? And so if he's telling you to do a certain thing, you're not going to try your hardest to do that. If he's like, get in that lane and block that shot, there's a good chance you're not going to do that if you don't respect the coach. You're more apt to do what you want to do in that situation. And around the room, it just starts like, if there'll be a team meeting, the coach will come in and rah, 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 he'll like blast on some guys and rip some guys apart. After the meeting, the coach will leave, the guy's like, what a joke. Like, come on. No, anyways. And you'll move on from there and you have a conversation with the guys like, okay, what are we really going to do on this power play or penalty kill? Because he doesn't know what he's talking about. And that's exactly what happens. Like, those conversations happen quite a bit when the coach kind of loses the room.
Yeah, and it was an interesting situation in Toronto because, like, the guy that was in waiting was put in that position and he was given a contract extension the offseason to be with the AHL team. But, I mean, everybody knew that if there was going to be a move, Sheldon Keefe would be the guy. And I wonder, hey, not that the players are paying attention day in, day out to what's being written, what's being said about Mike Babcock, but that he was close to the end of his rope, that might not also play into things, the idea that, hey, man, we're close to, like, actually having real change here. Again, you're not tanking games or anything, but I wonder if that actually plays into it, the idea of like, oh, when like we keep playing like this, we might be out of this thing soon.
Yeah, it's funny. The same thing when I was in Buffalo, we were projected to be a really good team. And for some reason, Lindy just lost the room. He had been there for a long time, and the vets didn't really respond to him, and he got fired. Then all of a sudden, like, we had this turnover, and Teddy Nolan came in, and he just, not that we turned it around and caught on fire, but the guys played a little harder for him, and it was just a refreshing, a new voice almost. And I think what happened in Toronto was these guys, the young kids these days, they love to be coddled. They don't like to be criticized. They're not used to it. And they just couldn't handle Babcock's style. And Keith is a more new age millennial type of coach where he comes in and he's going to, you know, say all the positive things. And guys, they like that positive feedback. And, you know, half the team played with the Marlies. So it's not like they're unused to a system. So I think he'll be successful there big time. I think they're going to go on a huge run and everyone's going to be playing the parade again.
Yeah. The thing with Babcock, too, though, is that I, even though those guys were younger and they might have handled criticism differently, feels like Babcock also rubbed a lot of veterans the wrong way. And, like, you know, there's some people, we've talked to Mike Modano before about how he feels about Babcock's inflexibility. Is that kind of the read that you've always had on him as a coach as well? Like, that one of the hallmarks is it's his way or the highway?
Well, yeah, I had this conversation with Danny Cleary a few months ago, or even a month ago, and he's just like, yeah, Babcock is the face of the franchise, and he's the biggest ego in the room, and that's his biggest downfall. If he were to humble himself a little bit, he'd be a great coach, because he is a good coach, don't get me wrong, but he just has this massive ego where if he gets challenged in any way with the GM or the president or players, he will just shut that person down. And that's the end of it. And that's a terrible kind of trait to have as a coach. You have to be flexible. You're the coach. You have to work with your team. And he just ruins veteran players' careers. Like he did it with Spezza. Yeah. Spezza comes in, does him a favor, signs with the team, and just buries him. It's just bizarre.
You're a thoughtful guy, and what if we'll, if like, let's do like a create a player here when it comes to a coach. Like if you're building the perfect coach, what would you want the hallmarks to be?
The perfect coach?
Yeah.
Man, I think there are coaches in the league who are close to that. I love playing for Joel Quenneville. I've heard nothing but good things about Barry Trotz, where they are hard at times. They don't go after certain people. Like certain coaches are scared to criticize the top players. Mm-hmm. Where they'll just beat on the third and fourth line. It's just like, come on, man. Like, I wouldn't play 5 minutes a game. But I think a perfect coach is a guy who knows how to toe that line where you're the disciplinarian for a good portion of the season, and then otherwise you're like, you're coddling players. You're saying, great job, great job. Here's a day off here and there. And you have to toe that line. It's very hard to do. Some coaches just get rolled over because they're too nice. Other coaches, they play too hard, and the players just lose them. So it's not an easy thing.
When Ted Nolan did re-enter the equation there in Buffalo, how long did that last? Like, that feels like, hey, man, they were all excited to see a new face yesterday. The Leafs were with Sheldon Keefe. You wonder how many games in a row. Like, can it last the entire rest of the season that they're just excited to hear this new voice, that emotional thing can last an entire year?
Oh, for sure. If you're winning. Like, look at St. Louis last year. It happened in Pittsburgh a few years back. The terrible thing in Buffalo is we actually were not a very good team. So once you came in, it was exciting. Then we just started to get the doors beat off of us every game. We're like, this sucks. Like, you know, we're not going to listen to him because he doesn't know what he's talking about either. But it's just, if you're winning and it's fun, like, yeah, the guys last night, they have smiles on their faces. Like, when's the last time you saw that in Toronto? So it can last if the team's winning, for sure.
Yeah. The path to getting back to the playoffs is a rough one for the Leafs. We outlined the case that they need to win, 30 out of their final 50 games-ish or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, considering how improved some of the Eastern Conference is, do you think that's doable? You think this team is going to be a playoff team despite the horrific start to the season?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think they get in, for sure. Without a doubt. I think they have the talent. They have the skill. Once Marner gets back, they're a good team. They're a Stanley Cup contender if they want to be. If they figure out their style of play, which from the looks of it last night, they have their puck control. They don't, you know, they're not a huge defensive team. Their goaltending is okay. Their D is, you know, they're a run and gun style of team. And if they embrace that, I think they'll be fine. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, It's hard not to believe in that talent, right? And even when Ben puts it kind of daunting with what the record needs to
38
be.
38 and 20.
Yeah, it's that's a lot, right? But why can't that team win two out of every three games? Mm-hmm. When they're playing that way, it feels like it's a possibility. The point I was kind of raising earlier, though, that makes it a little bit more difficult is when you're that team in the spotlight, and, you know, when we were talking about, you know, you hating them earlier, and I think that's probably prevalent around the league, is that there's not going to be teams taking games off against the Leafs here, right? There's not going to be really any layups in the schedule. Everyone's going to want to beat them. Everyone's going to want to keep them out of the playoffs. And even you saw the way Arizona played last night or the way Vegas played the night before that. Okay, it was pretty noticeable that there was a bit of a playoff feel to that game. And I would imagine that for the Leafs, in order for them to do it, they're going to have to elevate their game. So they're going to have to play with more attention to detail, more consistency, and harder. But I just think that the competition against them is going to be really tough too. So it'll be tough. It'll be difficult, but I think, it's hard to bet against that talent.
Yeah, that's the good thing, though. If they can get through this stretch and make it into the playoffs, they're going to be tested, because when you go along, when you go into Toronto as an opposing player, half the team is from that area. So you're playing your hardest for your family, your friends. You know, you got money on the board. It's a big deal. I still think Toronto can overcome that. I think it'll be good for them in the end. You know, a little adversity, you're getting every team's best. And once you're in, you know, anything can happen. But all you got to do is make it to the dance, and you can, you know, go from there.